Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of the prophet Jeremiah. It's on page 798, and we read Jeremiah 1, verses 4 through 10. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations." Then I said, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth." The Lord said to me, "Do not say I am only a youth, for to all to whom I send you, you shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord." Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord has said to me, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, his first. And we read chapter 12 through chapter 13. "I will show you a still more excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I've been fully known. See now, faith, hope, and love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1100. And we read Luke chapter 4, verses 31 through 44. Jesus went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee. And he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word possessed authority. And in the synagogue there was a man who had the spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice, "Ha! What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in their midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. And they were all amazed and said it to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." And reports about him went out into every place in the surrounding region. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they appealed to him on her behalf. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and began to serve them. Now, when the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went to a desolate place. And the people sought him and came to him, and would have kept him from leaving them, but he said to them, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to the other towns as well, for I was sent for this purpose." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. My text for today is your epistle lesson. But just to repeat one little phrase from that lesson, 1 Corinthians 13:8, love never ends. This is our text. So you're sitting next to someone you consider beloved, and you're pondering your relationship, and you look over to that person, you stare them in the eyes, and you say to them, "What do you love about me?" And they stare back at you, and they say, "There isn't one single thing that I love about you." What would you do? Well, some of you might get mad. Some of you would get sad. Some of you might even start crying. But I am quite certain there is one thing that virtually all of you would not do in that circumstance. You would not conclude that that person loves you deeply. Let me read something to you regarding God and his relationship to us. If you look God in the eye and said, "What do you love about me?" you might get this response. "For we have already charged that all, both Jews and Greeks, are under sin. As it is written, 'None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, and their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. So if that's what God said to you, would you conclude that he loves you? Well, if you thought that he didn't, you would be wrong. But therein lies the distinction between what we often label as love and what God calls love. God is love. We not only know this because that's what the Bible says about him, but we also know that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God loves us, but not in the way that the world conceives of love. And it's somewhat unfortunate, particularly with the English language, that the word love, which we use for so many things and in so many different ways. You know, you can love your dog, you can love your pickup truck, you can love your mashed potatoes and gravy, you can love your house, you can love your spouse. But my friends, if you love your spouse the same way you love your dog, there's just something wrong about that. The Greek had many different ways of describing love, many different words that they used, which we all translate with that one English word. And in the Greek, there was one very special word for love. It was called agape. A lot of you are familiar with that. Agape love was actually understood long before the New Testament came along and its use of that word. It's connected to the idea of grace, which was also a word in the Greek prior to the New Testament. Grace describes the giving of gifts, but not gifts that are somehow earned by the person receiving them. Not gifts that have to be repaid in some way. Grace in the Greek language describes something unmerited, unearned, undeserved, and yet a most precious and wonderful gift. Grace came not because of what a person was, at least in terms of the person receiving it, but because of what the giver was. From 1 John chapter 4, in this is love. Not that we loved God, that he loved us and gave his only son. Love. The kind of love that never ends is not rooted in the character or the acts of the person receiving it. It's rooted in the nature of the person giving it. God is love. And because God is eternal, love will never end. And when we love as God has loved us, when our love that we share with others is rooted in the gifts and the promises and the hope and the love that God has poured into our hearts, that love will never end. But of course, as we see love played out in the world, at least the way the world defines it, it frequently ends. You know, this 1 Corinthians 13, a passage that we read through today, is one of the most popular texts at weddings. I think throughout my ministry, every other wedding I've ever done has included 1 Corinthians 13. But how many marriages end tragically? And it's not just marriages. It's a relationship between parents and children, between friends and neighbors. We say we love and we care about people. But as soon as we're not getting anything out of the relationship, when we start to feel like we're doing all the giving and none of the receiving, we say things like, well, this isn't worth it anymore. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. If they're not going to care about me, I'm not going to care about them. If they're not going to love me, I'm not going to love them. That, my friends, isn't love. Even if you call it love. No, real love is that described in 1 Corinthians 13. It's something that never ends. Because it's not rooted in what you're going to get out of your relationship with someone else. It's rooted in God's relationship to you. It's in the gifts that he has given, the forgiveness that he's offered, the life that he promises, and most of all, the unending love that he continues to pour out upon us and within us through his word and through his sacrament. No, if you ask God, what do you love about me? You might not get the kind of answer you're expecting. As we have to admit every time we come here, we are but poor, miserable sinners. That didn't stop God from loving us, from giving his life for us on the cross, and from rising the dead, so that in heaven he might continually intercede for us each and every day. Christ is eternal. And his love that he has given us will never end. Let us never forget that love which God has had for us in our Savior Jesus Christ. But when we toss around that word in our relationships, God grant that the love we are speaking about is the real love, the kind that comes only from God, the kind that doesn't end. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his favor upon you and give you peace.